500 years ago this week, the Reformation began with Martin Luther posting his 95 theses, identifying problems and solutions he proposed for the Catholic Church. Today, the winds of change are moving through our world, and they are shaping our faith and our congregations, too. We are seeing the beginning of a new Reformation of sorts. We have some thoughts about this new Reformation and what it means for the future of Unitarian Universalism. So, without further ado, here are the next 95 theses.
Number one, 500 years after the first Reformation, another Reformation is happening right now.
Two, Unitarian Universalism as we know it, tied exclusively to brick-and-mortar congregations, usually white-centered, class-exclusive, and ableist, is dying, but it is simultaneously being reborn in ways we already see and ways we can't yet even imagine.
Three, we can help shape and be shaped by this new Reformation, or we can ignore it and let it pass us by as our institutions fade away.
This reformation is a good thing, but because we have no idea how things will ultimately turn out for church as an institution, and because many of us like things like predictable, measurable change and improvement, it is also scary.
Five. Part of both the good and the scary is that many congregations will die. Indeed, we've already seen this in New England.
Part of the future of church is innovative gatherings online, in bars, in virtual reality, in houses, in the streets.
Seven, another part of the future is in brick and mortar congregations that, while not identical to the ones we have long known and still see and sit in today, will have a lot in common with them.
Eight. Any religious tradition, including Unitarian Universalism, that fails to embrace both of these things, the innovative and the traditional, is doomed to mediocrity or extinction.
Nine, Unitarian Universalist congregations have long struggled to attract people who were raised in our congregations and welcome them as adult members. And any tradition that can't keep its young people in the fold has a serious problem.
Children and youth are not the future of the church. They are the church.
11. The histories of both Unitarianism and Universalism teach us that people and movements may die, but the spirit and ideas at their core are reformed and reborn again and again.
12. What became Unitarian Universalism was born of the first Reformation. The next Reformation will change our faith and our communities in ways we can't predict.
13. The seven principles written 30 years ago have served us well, but they were never meant to become the static document they have become.
14. A commission will be considering the principles and sources over the next several years. We would do well to listen to what they have to say.
15. Our first principle is fraught with misunderstanding. Inherent worth and dignity does not mean that everything everyone does is good, or that all people are good, or that every single opinion deserves respect. It means, by being virtue of a member of the human family, every single one of us is inherently precious, not because we've earned it, not because of anything we do or don't do, but simply because we were born.
Every person has inherent worth and dignity, but not all behavior does. Our communities grow in health and maturity when we learn how to set healthy boundaries with love and respect.
17. Being kind is more important than being right.
18. Spiritual growth doesn't happen without effort. It's time to make it the priority in our faith and put our resources behind it.
19. We can no longer afford to overlook the responsible part of a free and responsible search for truth and meaning.
20. It's time to consider how the democratic process has sometimes failed us, both in our congregations and in our world.
21. Our form of governance exists to serve us, the people. We don't exist to practice a particular form of governance. So it's hard, but we can't let the tail wag the dog.
22. Waiting until we can make a decision unanimously is not necessarily better than making a decision that an overwhelming majority support. Used incorrectly, strict consensus models allow a very small group of people to prevent an entire community from moving forward.
23. The church's job is not to make everyone happy. The church's job is to help people grow into wholeness and our world grow into justice.
24. Are we really working towards a world with peace and justice for all, or is that just something we say?
25. Our respect for the interdependent web isn't enough. Our actions and our commitment are needed now.
26. The sources also written 30 years ago could use their own update.
27. We are surrounded by prophetic voices in our own time, calling us to justice and love, but we have to get out of the way of our own egos in order to follow their call.
That includes us too.
Mm-hmm.
28. Appropriation must stop now. The Western world has a long history of colonizing world religions for its own use in irresponsible and destructive ways.
29. It's time for us to take a more critical look at how we approach Christian and Jewish sources, including how we have too easily conflated those two traditions.
30. The wider world of humanism outside of our congregations is calling for us to engage it. Vibrant humanist voices and communities are rearticulating humanism in exciting ways that we need to hear.
31. If we are to truly own our sixth source, our congregations must more fully embrace earth-centered traditions.
32. If racism is the original sin of our country, then white supremacy, that is, holding white cultural values and norms and whiteness itself as both normative and ideal, is the original sin of our religious tradition.
33. Therefore, a Unitarian Universalism that is not focused on confronting racism, oppression, and white supremacy will decline and die, and it deserves to.
34. That decline is not inevitable, but reversing it will require a great effort and change.
35. If we are to thrive into the future, we must be in accountable relationships with people from marginalized communities, both inside and outside of Unitarian Universalism.
36. Diversity alone is not the goal. Liberation, inclusion, and integration is.
37. The white supremacy embedded in our national and religious institutions will not change for the better unless we work to make it so.
38. The work must be deeply intersectional in nature, and it must be led by diverse people working together.
39. We will fail many times in this work, just as we do in other things. We must keep trying.
40. There is not a clear step-by-step guide for how to do this work, but that doesn't mean we can avoid it. We must let go of the need to be good at everything we try if we are going to grow and thrive.
Number 41. Our rituals and practices as a congregation reflect our implicit theology. We give and receive an offering as a symbol of the debt we owe to a universe that gave us life and showers us with blessings unbidden and unearned.
42. Our practice of including stories and readings from many different sources is a reflection of our conviction that many cultures, religions, and societies have truth and wisdom to offer.
43. Truth may be too big and beautiful to be contained in any one religion, but there's a different kind of spiritual growth available to those who go for depth in one tradition, rather than breadth by dipping only their toes in many.
44. The future of Unitarian Universalism will see people making deeper commitments to spiritual practice and trying things they never thought they would for the sake of growing in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruits of the Spirit.
45. While every one of us is precious and has inherent worth, humanity is also capable of great evil. We ignore the reality of that evil at our own peril, especially in these times.
46. Liberal religion that cannot name and forsake evil, both out in the world and within ourselves, will not resonate with people's life experiences, and it will not survive.
47. The theist-atheist debate is a distraction. Church is about the transformative power we experience in our lives, not the words or metaphors we use or don't use to describe it.
48. We don't own lamps for the sake of the lamp. We have lamps because of the light that they give us. Church is the lamp. The change that it makes inside of us in our world is the light. In the words of Theodore Parker, the lamp, the church, is transient. The light, the change, is permanent. Let's not mix them up.
49. For the entire history of our religious tradition, we have been a people of words.
50. Words are important, but religion, faith, and worship are about a lot more than words.
51. The future of church is one in which congregations engage a diverse array of language, traditional and new, from many sources and with many cultural class and ethnic perspectives.
52. Former UUA president, the Reverend Bill Sinkford's call for a language of reverence was more than a decade ago was controversial. It shouldn't still be today.
53. There's a difference between language that is harmful and language that simply doesn't resonate with me personally.
54. Using mostly sources or music created by white men in worship or in anything is not in keeping with our values, no matter what our personal preferences might be.
55. Literalism kills. Metaphor and story give life.
56. To that end, the word God doesn't have to mean whatever you think it means. And no one needs to justify their opinion to anyone else about the God hypothesis.
57. Our language matters, our actions matter more.
58. Impact matters more than intent. Let me say that again. Impact matters more than intent. Having good intentions matters less than the impact of our words and our actions.
59. If children can't understand your sermon, the sermon is the problem, not the children.
Number 60. If we don't talk about hope, we won't have it.
61. If we don't name and talk about evil, we can't hope to stop it.
62. If we don't talk about forgiveness, we can't receive it.
Number 63. We exist for more than 1 hour a week on Sundays. I mean, Kristen and I do too, but also this church. And so should the way we live out our faith.
64. Singing the living tradition, our hymnal is 24 years old. It's time for a new one.
65. Every service of worship should include joy and grief and forgiveness and challenge.
66. To be meaningful, worship must be both timeless and responsive to today's needs. One of my former seminary professors used to say the best sermons are written with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. Today, I would say they are written with sacred text in one hand and Twitter in the other.
I think every single one of these statements is tweetable.
Yeah, we did that on purpose.
67. Worship is one of the last places in our society where people of all ages are together for a shared experience. It's one of the last places where people don't have to be segregated by age.
68. The 1950s model of dividing people according to their age for church is dying. The future of worship will be profoundly multi-generational.
69. If children are not engaged in worship, the worship is the problem, not the children.
Number 70. If children are not moved by the music is the problem, not the children.
71. Worship is also one of the last places in our society where people sing together.
72. The future of worship will be profoundly participatory. It will include less music we just sit and listen to and a lot more music that we can participate in.
73. Worship is for everyone, which means some parts of it will not be right for any given person, even you.
74. If you experience something that doesn't resonate for you, that is great! That is the part that you get to give to the person sitting in the pew next to you or behind you or in front of you. Worship is as much about being spiritually generous as it is about recharging our own batteries.
75. Remember our tradition's sacred freedom of the pulpit. You've called us to speak the truth as we see it with love. You haven't called us as soothsayers, but as pastors and teachers and prophets, and we take this very seriously.
76. Remember also our tradition's sacred freedom of the pew. You are free to disagree or ignore anything we say.
77. We know that each person has a unique set of learning styles. The future of worship lies in engaging all five senses and using fewer words. The irony in us naming this amid 94 other wordy theses is not lost on us.
78. Budgets are faith statements. What we give to is what we love and what we become.
79. If budgets reflect what we love, then it looks like a lot of churches love their buildings a whole lot.
Number 80. And yet, people are more important than ideologies or property or things, however historic and beloved those things might be.
81. In these changing times, all churches will have to decide how to best allocate their resources so they are funding what is most important.
We here at the UU Church of Berkeley will have to evaluate whether our buildings, our location, our pews, our classrooms, our service forms, our staffing structure, our everything are all still serving our deepest purpose, or if other ways of doing any of that would help us serve our purpose better.
This summer, the Unitarian Universalist Association, for the first time ever, elected a woman as its president. Let's not wait 56 years to do so again.
84. Unitarian Universalism works best when lay and ordained people alike work together and are empowered by their community.
85. The Unitarian Universalist's allergy to authority is way past its expiration date. Yeah.
If we are going to survive and thrive in this new Reformation, we have to do more than point out the weaknesses of the governance structure du jour.
87. Like so many other traditions, UUs have so many committees and meetings it can feel like we're meeting to death at times. Making decisions through slow-working committees worked well in the 1950s when many households had one adult who didn't work outside the home and could volunteer 30 hours a week at church. Most people who work don't have that kind of time today.
88. Our way of being church isn't working well for us now in all ways, and it will only get worse in those ways until we figure out how to streamline decision making.
89. Part of that streamlining will need to include actually following the people we have elected as leaders. The board is the leading body of this church. Until all of us are on the same page in empowering our leadership, we will continue to have frustration and inaction and unfulfilled promise.
90. Early Unitarian congregations understood themselves to be in profound relationship with one another, and they even spelled out how they would hold one another accountable. It is high time we resurrect this part of our tradition.
91. Our congregations are not the UUA. The UUA is our congregations.
92. Unitarian Universalism is bigger than the UUA, and that's a good thing.
93. If we are going to live out our faith and live into our promise as an association, our congregations have to work together. So whether it's pastoral care or religious exploration, social justice, or just fun and fellowship, the future of church will see congregations working more closely with one another.
94, the penultimate thesis. It's best to approach all matters of church and religion with humility. So any or all of these theses could be wrong.
And 95, for our 95th thesis. Remember that new truths are always being revealed. So we invite you to write your own, whether you share it with us or everyone or only with yourself. Consider how the future of church is unfolding in front of us.